Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. When believers in Christ are doing well, they do what is recommended in Colossians chapter 3 in the first part of verse 16. And that is this: let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. By studying, by meditating on, and by applying the word of God, it becomes a permanent and abiding part of our lives, and the thoughts of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our God, inform and influence every decision. And when believers in Christ come to church, whether it is in resident status or non-resident status, we come for the purpose of having God's word prominently placed in our souls. James chapter 1, verse 21b says, "In humility receive the word of God implanted, which is able to save your souls." If we're not careful, however, we allow such thoughts as these opening thoughts to burden us. Let the word of God richly dwell within you. In humility receive the word of God implanted. We let those things burden us as if they are things that we need to do. But we just need to remember that as human beings, we don't have power within ourselves. We borrow power from the one who is leading us. And for Christians, God the Holy Spirit is leading us. He fills up our deficiencies with his enabling power. And for unbelievers, Satan is leading them. Satan manufactures a counterfeit power designed to get creatures to believe that they can do anything they perceive in their mind, that they can achieve, anything the mind of man can conceive and believe it can achieve. And that's not exactly true. And when a person finds out that they can't do that, Satan laughs. Teachers inculcate thoughts as a set of operating instructions, and they lead believers and unbelievers alike. As creatures, we're not merely controlled by our own thoughts that originate from our own will like we think we are. We listen to and act on thoughts passed on to us by two beings that are more powerful than us, either Satan or God the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "The flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit sets its desire against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please." You need to see these two sides inherent in that verse that influence us. And as believers in Christ, we are to be extremely mindful of the teachers we select to instruct us. We are to be hyper-concerned about the quality of the teaching we receive, both the source of the teaching and the messages of the teaching. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, "False prophets arose among the people." And since the gift of prophecy is no longer available, that's a reference to the past. "Just as there will also be false teachers among you right now who will secretly," that means insidiously in a sneaky way, "introduce destructive heresies." And they do that from within the church, right alongside the truth, even denying the master who bought them, who redeemed them with a price, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Heresy is a form of teaching that does not agree with biblical teaching. False teachers not only introduce false teaching, they introduce a counterfeit God or a counterfeit set of gods, a counterfeit Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4 says this: "If one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, and many false teachers do, we are to beware." As believers in Christ, we are not to accept Satan's false teachers or their false teachings about a false God. The teachers at the source of all learning, God the Holy Spirit and Satan, use media to get their messages across to you. And you choose to tune in to the medium where your teachers are teaching. Now, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, at any moment in time, you can choose to tune your souls into the influence of Satan and KCOS, which broadcasts the world's system of thought. And let's face it, most of our week, we spend our time listening to that broadcast. Most of the time, there are some believers in Christ who can't get enough of the news, and they get on the news, and that whole inculcation system of the news is spreading Satan's thought process. Or you can choose to tune your soul to the influence of WGOD, which broadcasts the divine system of thought. That's what you get when you come here. So Bible study is a time to lay aside the spiritual battle of daily life. It's a time to lay aside the internal fight between the two leaders and the two kingdoms for control of your soul. And instead, it's a time to allow the infiltration of your soul and your spirit with the mind of Christ, the Word of God, so that you can have a chance when you return to the world to operate with the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ instead of the thinking of the world. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says this, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." So see, whatever your problems are today, you can ask yourself a really simple question. Are the things I'm thinking, are the things that I'm doing in line with what God the Holy Spirit would want me to think and what God the Holy Spirit would want me to do? And if not, if you find out not, and that's if you're being honest with yourself, if you find out not, then ask yourself, well, if what I'm doing is not in line with what God wants me to do, what would God want me to do in this particular situation? Now, the Word of God refers to Bible study as a time of renewing. So as you let God the Holy Spirit fill up your deficiency of thought by leading you into the truths of the Word of God, He will unveil the plan of God the Father for your life. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, "Do not be conformed to this world." Don't be influenced by KCOS. Reject the teachings of KCOS. But keep on being transformed by God in the renewing of your mind. You see, you don't have to do the work. You don't have to be burdened by the thoughts that letting the Word of God richly dwell in you is something you have to do. Keep on being transformed by God in the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is. And what the will of God is that which is good, that which is acceptable, that which is perfect. Now is the time to let your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through the power of God the Holy Spirit, prepare you in humility to receive the Word implanted, which is able to refresh your souls. The music today, the first song, is a song called Shoulders from a group called For King and Country.
Up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains. I know that you are near.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for placing in us the will to do the things that we choose to do. And thank you for not requiring anything of us. And thank you for letting us put down the burden of have to, for the freedom of want to. And thank you for taking up our burdens for us. Open our hearts to your will in this lesson, Father, and help us to do those things which you planned for us to do in eternity past. Help us to have the vision in our souls to see what you want us to do, and give us the courage to do those things. And as for the people in our lives, help us not to require anything of them, to treat them like you treat us, and to be pleased and astonished as we see what their will indicates about their choices and their thinking. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Today's study, who are you? Who are you? Who? Remember that song? Yeah. Who are you? I've asked you 5 questions in the past. And you may remember them. Questions for reflection. Who are you? Where did you come from? Where are you going? How will you get there? And what is your purpose in life? That's quite a list. And most people I have encountered in this life find these questions to be hard questions, especially the first and the last. Who are you and what is your purpose in life? Isn't it funny that we would never dream of getting in a car without knowing exactly what the destination is? But in our life, we feel totally comfortable every day just getting up and driving in our lives, not knowing what the destination is. Isn't that funny? And without really knowing who we are, without really stopping to reflect on who we are, and to think about why we matter on the planet. Why does it matter to anyone on this planet that you're even here? Teenagers, don't try to answer that question, because we already know the answer, that it doesn't matter. If it weren't for donut shops and, you know, QTs, where you can get a big soda, you know, they depend on y'all. But other than that, nah. But I'm talking about the real people here within the ministry. That's what I'm talking about. Who are you? Now, our focus is on Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and it has 2 ideas in it. And one of the ideas is no condemnation. Oh, see, I just blew that one, right? And then the other idea is in Christ Jesus. Here's what Romans 8, 1 says. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And those are 2 very, very large ideas in the Christian way of life. The idea that when God looks at you, he does not condemn you if you're a believer in Christ, and that he gave you this unbelievable position called in Christ Jesus. And so we've finished our look at no condemnation, but in today's lesson, we may find that in the expression, in Christ Jesus, in Romans chapter 8, there is an answer for the toughest of the 5 questions. But first, a few announcements. We visited the vets, and we have some pictures of them. There's one. Just to give you an idea of what we do when we go over there, we hang out with people who serve the country and who are injured in battle. And they love when we come. It's really amazing to see how packed the place is when we're there, and how more and more people just keep coming and coming. Now, I think part of that is because all these guys are hitting on Dorothy, but that's, you know, that's beside the point. I think the other part is it's more than the ice cream for them. They love hearing June sing. They love hearing what we have to say about God and the things that we say that help them in mentality and help them to put up with their physical ailments. This is a guy that runs the visits. He's one of the 2 people that run the visits. His name is Jonathan, and we hadn't seen him in about 6 months, I think, right? Has it been a year? Because he stopped working on Sundays. That's right. It was even before I got married. And he was there this weekend, and it was really exciting to see him, and he was excited to see us too. And then this guy's name is Dave. Oh no, it's not Dave. My wife just my wife just thought his name was Dave because he has DAV on his shirt, which means Disabled American Veterans. No, his name is really Tom. So, all right. So, but Tom is 97 years old. He wants to play for the Bears. Oh, that's right. He had a chance to play for the Bears, right? He had a tryout with George Halas. Halas was going to pay him 5 cents for a year, a cheapskate. But anyway, Tom is a great guy, and it's always, you know, he's the first person I look for when we get there because he just loves coming and being with us. So I'm showing you these fun things and telling you these fun things to encourage you to come with us sometime if you haven't and visit them. It'll do a lot for your soul. Some mark your calendar items. The Broad Ministries Pennsylvania and New York Bible Conference in Binghamton, New York will be September 18th and 19th. So it's coming up in a few short weeks, and we're really looking forward to that. Mark your calendars. We'll have an evening service the 20th from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. And the evening service is because we'll be getting back late from New York. The next deacons meeting officially is September 26, 2015. I looked at the calendar, and we've got some Saturday crowding over the next few weeks, but I want to get us in after church either next week or the following week. So we'll have another one in there and coming up. We had a great deacon meeting yesterday, and we were talking about what we're going to be doing with the church as we move forward. So really good. And then prayers, if you would, please, for Rick Stoddard and his family. His sister's daughter, Autumn, lost her husband this past week, and she has three kids, two teenagers and a soon-to-be teenager, 12-year-old. And so that's pretty tough to be a single mom in a situation like that. So please keep Autumn in your prayers and keep Rick's family in your prayers, if you would. All right, so Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The two ideas of Romans chapter 8, verse 1. No condemnation in light of everything that happened that was said in Romans 7:24 and 7:25, where Paul discovered that trying to keep the law was not the Christian way of life, and trying to stop sinning was not the Christian way of life. And that's what we do a lot of times as believers in Christ. We get really legalistic, and we want to believe that we actually can keep the law, when the truth of the matter is, when you break the law one time, you're a criminal. So the first time you sin, you're a criminal for life in God's program. And see, we always have to separate the spiritual from the human. And that's one of the things that really trips us up as believers in Christ, as people who are trying to be spiritual, that we mix the spiritual realm with the human realm. And all the things in the human realm are of Satan. And we want to mix in the spiritual realm as if somehow the human realm is going to fit in the spiritual realm. It doesn't. Unconditional love isn't human. Unconditional love isn't human. Trust isn't human. Forgiveness isn't human. Grace isn't human. Those are spiritual things. So if you think you can do those things in your human power, you can't. I was telling you last week about my own feelings about my own sons, and that, you know, I can't get myself beyond the feelings of betrayal in that situation. But even more, the mental part of it, which is, what are you doing? How did you lose your mind, right? So that's my burden to bear, and it's no big deal. But see, I know what those thoughts that I was sharing with you, those are human things. That's not spiritual. I know what I'll do in the spiritual realm because I won't be doing it. God, the Holy Spirit, will be doing it because I trust Him. I depend on Him. So when we look at Romans 8:1 and we see that expression, in Christ Jesus, let's face it, is in Christ Jesus going to do anything to pay your rent this week? Is in Christ Jesus going to get you your next wax or your next manicure or your next dinner or any of that stuff? Is it going to get you a new car? It's not. We don't think about the spiritual things and see how they relate to the human things. We're all consumed with the humanity of things and running around and, what this person is doing, what that person is doing, how we're going to control this person or that. All that stuff, that's human stuff that gets us tangled up. But here's my question for you, and the question that I'm always asking myself when I'm doing a lesson. Why should you, as a believer in Christ, even care that you're in Christ Jesus? Why do you care? Why would a teenager care that the teenager's in Christ Jesus? Why do you care? You care if you got a big, long enough nap last night, but do you care if you're in Christ Jesus? Well, you should, because the truth is, we don't care as much about things spiritual as we care about things of the world. We don't care as much about getting to know Christ as we care about Facebook. In fact, this week I was thinking, what if at the judgment seat of Christ, which is the place where believers will be evaluated for reward, the Lord, as we stepped up in front of the Lord, he held up a sign. You know, it had a little line between it, and it had a number on this side and a number on this side. And the number on one side was the number of hours spent on Facebook. And on the other side, the number of hours in your life spent worshiping the Lord. There's going to be a huge number on the side of Facebook, or if you're younger. You know, Facebook is for 45-year-old women who are married, that's what I hear. So, 45 and older, right? But what a Snapchat and Instagram and, all the other apps. You spend all the time on that, but you didn't spend very much time on this, worshiping the Lord. And then you're scratching your head and saying, who are you again when you're standing in front of the Lord Jesus Christ? Which is your choice? Because let's face it, scrolling through Facebook is a lot more fun than scrolling through this and having it send things into your soul that edifies you for that time when you're all by yourself in that hospital room and you're about to have a surgery and you don't know whether you're going to come out of it or not. Facebook going to help you then? Facebook isn't going to help you then. Hours and hours of Facebook isn't going to help you then. Facebook, video games, any of the things, The Good Wife, Scandal, Survivor, the Amazing Race, football, huh? The Bad Wife. Yeah, look, all that stuff, it's fantastic, but do you ever stop and really think about how many hours you spend just mindlessly, when you could counteract and contradict all of that with 1 hour a day of getting to know the Lord and Savior, the one who created you and the one who has done everything for you? Just 1 hour. He's not asking for much, but we don't do it because these other things are so much more entertaining in our minds. But would you be proud if the first thing the Lord did was held up that sign? Time spent on dissipation versus time spent learning about me. You're not going to be proud. Being in Christ Jesus, why should you care? Because being in Christ Jesus means that you're in union with Christ. It means that you have a spiritual union. It means that Jesus Christ has you on his shoulders. It means that we move from the natural realm to the spiritual realm. And that is a complete change. What's the word that indicates this complete change? In Greek, metamorpho. One of my favorite books in high school, Ovid's Metamorphoses. The change. the metamorphosis. It's like going from being a caterpillar to being a butterfly. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you. Caterpillars are these slimy little green, hairy, ugly things. And butterflies are gorgeous and beautiful, and they fly. They're so amazing, right? It's a complete change. When you went from being in Adam, you a caterpillar, slimy little thing that could get stomped on and squished, to a beautiful butterfly in Christ, an amazing change happened. See, unbelievers are called natural men. It's the Greek word psukikos. And what does it say about the psukikos in 1 Corinthians 2:14? The psukikos man, the natural man, doesn't understand the things of God, the Holy Spirit. They're foolishness to him. And he can't even understand it because they're spiritually appraised. The natural man is dead. The natural man is headed for the second death. But you are in the Spirit. You're a beautiful butterfly. And God is waking you up to the amazingness and the amazing possibilities that butterflies have. And we're standing there as the butterfly. Have you ever seen a monarch butterfly? They're actually gorgeous. I was sitting out having lunch in front of one of my clients' building the other day, and I was talking to one of my students, and she's pregnant. And this monarch butterfly comes down and lands on her stomach. And, you know, the guy next to us, you know, guys, shoo, said, what are you doing, man? Just let the butterfly alone. So the butterfly just sat there. The guy was shooing at the butterfly. Just, man, can't you enjoy a little beauty? I'm just chilling for a minute. I'm going to leave. But, and the butterfly's just flapping its wings real slowly and just sitting there. It's just a magnificent, beautiful, regal insect. Beautiful. And just sat there for a little while and then flew off. Of course, my student's making all this significance out of it. A butterfly landed on you. That's all that happened. Oh, I bet you it's blessing my baby. And now, all right, girlfriend, we're going to do a Bible study right now. That was not, your baby did not get blessed. The blessing was that you got a baby, and when the baby gets here, you're going to find out that it isn't a blessing. So you just better enjoy what you got right now. So why should we as believers in Christ care about being in union with Christ? We should care because our union with Christ changed everything. And we're these beautiful creatures and just so magnificent, and all we can do is this, scrolling Facebook and playing video, choo, 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 choo. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. To see royalty operating like that. Our union with Christ caused a complete metamorphosis, a complete from one thing to something else, a complete change in every aspect of us. Our union with Christ changes who we are. When someone asks the question, who are you? From now on, the answer is really simple. Who I am is a special one who is in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. And you were not that before you became a believer in Christ. Your union with Christ changed the answer to the question, who are you? Because right now you are amazing. You see, your union with Christ changes how God sees you. Before, God saw you as one of his creatures, but he looked on you with wrath. And now he looks at you and he sees you as a part of his son. It's a whole different ballgame. And there's the story of the two little boys that illustrates. Two boys came in to see a king. One was the king's son, and he was completely clean. And one was the friend of the king's son, and he was completely covered in mud, dripping mud. And the king welcomed the muddy young boy to his lap, and he said, come here. He sat the muddy kid on his lap, and he got the mud all over his beautiful robe. And he said to the little boy, any friend of my son is a friend of mine. The dirt of your sins is no problem to the king because of his son. Your union with Christ ought to change how you see yourself Your union with Christ ought to change how you see the world. And how does that manifest itself? It manifests itself in this way. Last week, I was in Philadelphia, and I was thinking, you know what? I don't make a difference. With this client, with my other clients, with my congregation, with my family, I don't make any difference. Did I manufacture that thought? Because I told you earlier, we don't manufacture those thoughts from our will. Because it's not my will to think of myself that way. That thought was implanted. And is that ever going to stop? I could be doing something right that moment that was valuable. I could be walking a little lady across the street, 61-year-old woman that I had just given a bunch of money to get some food, and I was helping her get safely across the street, and I'd be thinking that same thought. You know, you don't make any difference. Nobody even cares that you're on the planet. You make so many mistakes, nobody cares about you. So that's never going to stop. But the real question is, how long is it going to take me to recover from it? You know how long it took me to recover from it? About 2 hours. I sent a text to Lila and I said, hey, honey, I'm feeling like I don't make any difference. You know, and she starts sending emoticon after emoticon, LOL, BFF. You know, she starts sending all this stuff. Little notes, which is awesome. You know, my wife really knows how to pump me up when I'm down a little bit. But I just stopped to think about this verse, and I thought, you know what? That condemnation didn't come from the Lord. Because with the Lord, there's now no condemnation. And you know what? I'm in union with Christ. I'm a monarch butterfly. I'm gorgeous. So, and that, who sent that message? John 8:44, the liar and the father of all lies. I'm going to listen to that. I'm not listening to that. And I changed the channel to WGOD. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. You're a priest. You're a saint. You're holy, blameless, justified, redeemed, reconciled. It didn't take very long. I called a couple of my friends who I call when I'm down, and they just laugh at me. And one of my friends said, you don't have to try to make a difference. You make a difference everywhere you are all the time. You don't even have to work at it. So don't. But who told you you had to make a difference? Sometimes why don't you just say, I don't want to make a difference today. It never crossed my mind. So let's take a music break, and we'll learn more about how God sees us, because that's what helped me recover, really. Looking at myself, not as I look at myself, not as the kingdom of death looks at me, but as God looks at me. Take a music break. What an appropriate song, Jesus Loves Me, by Chris Tomlin.
I was lost, I was in chains, the world had a she
Today's study, who are you? Who are you? How does God the Father see us now that we're in Christ Jesus? How does God the Father see us when we're in Christ Jesus? Because I was just thinking during the song how my mind works, you know, and there are all these responsibilities that are part of my life. You know, I got a new wife and I've got a new daughter and I've got to provide and I've got a congregation, and I want it to grow, and you know, I see your faces in my head and all the things that you're going through, and, you know, I wonder why June has been limping for 3 months, you know. I think about you guys. I think about Dorothy all the time. I hope everything's good. We got Zia who's limping, and you know, and you know, you guys tell me about all your challenges, and I take them on as my challenges in prayer. And I'm thinking about you all the time, and so my head is just always, I think about my clients. I want them to achieve breakthrough performance. I want them to do what they never thought was possible. And I want to be an integral part of that. And I think about the specific executives that I work with at each of those companies, and their specific challenges, and I'm always thinking, what is the next thing that I can say that will be the turbo boost that propels them to the next level? Always thinking about that stuff. I have such a freaky life. And, you know, for the last probably 2 months, I haven't had any days off. You know, I don't like days off anyway, but I haven't had any days off. So, I tell you about this, not to tell you, oh, woe is me, look at my life, but I know your life is like that. I know you have these challenges. You know, this is the funniest pastorate of all time because I very seldom hear from you about what's going on with you, right? I mean, you talk to me, but, a lot of pastors get these long notes about, you know, here's what's going on in my life and my family that they can reflect on. You guys don't work that way. But I know that you're going through the same things that I'm going through. And if you were telling me those things, you'd be hearing your own stories instead of mine. Right? But I know you can make the connection. I know you don't care that I grew up in the ghetto and it's not, you know, it's irrelevant that I grew up in the ghetto because my kids didn't grow up in the ghetto. But they had the same challenges as children that I had as a child. And it's the challenge of themselves. You understand that. You're somewhere in the spectrum. So I know you go through a lot of these things. I know your mind is spinning like that all the time. But I wonder if you ever stop when all that stuff is going on and ask yourself a question. How does God the Father see me right now? Now that I have been changed and now that I'm in Christ Jesus. Because what God the Father sees is the new you. You have a position. You were changed from in Adam to in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 highlights the magnificence of that. For as in Adam, all are set to die the second death, our condition at physical birth. We're all designed to experience the second death in the lake of fire. But in Christ, all will be made alive. Look at the transformation. Look at the contrast. The two don't connect. There's death and then there's life. And they're polar opposites. We are saved. We are changed from condemnation to salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Therefore, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Timothy, or of me, his prisoner, me being Paul, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling as pastors, not according to our works, not because we deserved it, but according to his own purpose and his grace, which was granted to all of us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, from way before he even created us. That's what he had planned for us. We are secure. We are changed from uncertainty about our future to certainty about our future. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, the end of the chapter that we're studying, and this is where we're going. This is Paul's conclusion after all the things that he will say about God the Holy Spirit. I, Paul, am convinced that not death, physical death, nor anything in life, not angels, not principalities, not things present, nor things to come, not the present or the future, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, no matter how high things get, no matter how deep things get, no matter how wide things get, no matter how broad things get, none of those things will be able to separate us believers in Christ. Us believers in union with Christ. Nothing will be able to separate us in Christ from the unconditional love of God the Father, which is given to us because we're in Jesus Christ our Lord. We are family. We are changed from natural to spiritual. We are God's family. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body through the baptism of the Spirit. Whether Jews or Greeks, racial distinction irrelevant. Whether slaves or free, social distinction irrelevant. We were all made to drink of one Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. We are family. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18, and then on to chapter 7, verse 1, says this. Don't be bound together with unbelievers. If you're a believer, don't marry an unbeliever. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Look at the contrast. You're either righteous or you're lawless. You're a believer or you're not. Or what fellowship has the light with darkness? You either walk in the light as he is in the light, or you don't. You're in darkness. 2 Corinthians 6:15, or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Belial, the false god, Christ, the real god. Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Again, always the two systems, always the contrast. 2 Corinthians 6:16, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we, believers in Christ in the church age, are temples of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all three members of the Trinity are indwelling us. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 2 Corinthians 6:17, therefore, come out from their midst and be separate. We are to have nothing in common with unbelievers. We are to have nothing in common with the world and its whole system of thought. KCOS should be locked out of our television. It should be on parental control, that we can't tune into that channel. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. 2 Corinthians 6:18, and I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty, the sovereign of the universe. 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, you divinely loved ones, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the respect of God. Stay out of the mud of the world. That's what's being said there. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 28 say this, you believers in Christ are all sons of the living God, sons of God the Father, through faith in Christ Jesus, in your union with Christ. Galatians 3:27, for all of you who are baptized by God the Holy Spirit into union with Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. You've got on the nice new clothes of the Son that was clean. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, no racial distinction. There is neither slave nor free man, no social distinction. There is neither male nor female, no gender distinction, for you are all one body in union with Christ Jesus. Now that, because there is no racial distinction, that does not mean that I'm going to stop telling black jokes. We are heirs. We are changed from disinheritance to inheritance. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 say this, in Christ, that is over and over and over again, in Christo Jesu, in pneumati, we're in union with Christ. We're in union with the Spirit. Everything in God's plan is unity. Everything in God's plan is one. In Christ, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed by God the Holy Spirit, the signature guarantee that you are eternally secure and saved. You were sealed in union with Christ, with God the Holy Spirit of promise, by the agency of God the Holy Spirit of promise, this one that we're studying right now, Ephesians 1:14, who is given to you as a pledge of your inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God the Father's own possession to the praise of his glory. You are a possession of God. And he will glorify you in the future. You have a lot to look forward to. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, for by these, the gifts of the life and godliness, he has granted to us believers in Christ his precious and magnificent promises, so that by these promises you may become partakers of the divine nature. In union with Christ, you are partakers of the divine nature. What is the thing that's divine in you? The righteousness of God imputed to you at the moment of salvation, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. We have a new identity. We're changed from the old man to the new man. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and all believers in Christ are, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. The old things died. Behold, new things have come. These are the things that bore us. It's boring to hear that you're a beautiful swan. It's boring to hear that you're a monarch butterfly. It's boring to hear you've been transformed into this gorgeous creature. We'd much rather hear about Satan. Colossians 1:27, to whom God willed to make known the glorious riches of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ indwelling you, the hope, the absolute confidence of your future glorification. We have the life, the resurrection life, and we are changed from death to life. John chapter 10, verse 10, I came that believers in Christ may have the Zoe life, the resurrection life, eternal life, and have it abundantly. We are redeemed. We are changed at the moment of salvation from slave to free. Romans chapter 5, verse 10, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God the Father through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. There's an a fortiori argument. If the stronger thing is true, the lesser thing has to be true as well. The stronger thing is that while you were enemies, Christ, God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. That was the strong thing. That was the hard thing. That was the hard thing for the Father to watch. And now that he did that hard thing, do you think that he's not going to do all the easy things related to your life? He's going to provide everything for you. That's what he's saying here. We are guided. We are changed from directionless to destined. He puts a rudder on our lives called God the Holy Spirit. James chapter 1, verse 5, but if anyone lacks wisdom, and all of you do, let him ask God the Father, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and wisdom will be given to him. We are God's friends as believers in Christ. We are changed from enemies to BFFs, best friends forever. John chapter 15, verse 15, no longer do I, the Lord Jesus Christ, call you slaves, for the slave doesn't know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. That's the way God looks at you. He looks at you as his BFF. He thinks you're his friend, believers in Christ. Our God is a weapon that is available to us anytime we want it. We are changed from human solutions to supernatural solutions through prayer. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Therefore, let us, believers in Christ, draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Anything you ask of the Lord in prayer, believing that you already have it, you will receive it. Anything you ask of the Lord in prayer, believing that you already have it, you will receive it. We have a direct path of communication with him. We are changed from going through intermediaries like Levitical priests to direct contact with God. Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. "And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Somebody on the Barah Ministries prayer website said, "Hey, I really don't know what to pray for." Right? Why are you worried? God knows what you need before you ask him. Right? He already knows. So just say what you want to say. You know, there's no formal, what's really true, more than we don't know what to say, is we're scared to say what we really want because we might get it. Just say what you really want. Imagine, dream, but you might get it. And then you're going to have to handle it. We are righteous. We are changed from ungodly to godly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. "God the Father made the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in union with him." And we live by faith. We are changed from unbelief to faith. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, indwelling me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me unconditionally and gave himself up for me." All right, are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have faith in him? Do you have faith, the kind of faith that says, "I know you're going to come through for me"? Do you go to him with your deepest needs and tell him, and then have the faith that he's going to come through? Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Now, the fact that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. The righteous man lives by faith. What is faith? Faith is the assurance that we already have the things that we hope for, the conviction that we already have the things that are not seen. You know, it's not just our life, but the lives of those who are precious to us. Do you understand that if your children are believers in Christ, that they're going to be well cared for and you don't have to help? Do you understand that no matter how much you care for your children, that you couldn't possibly in a million trillion years care for them more than God does? Do you get that? Can you unscrew the screws? Can you relax? Can you just watch as God works all things together for good? Because that's what he does for us believers in Christ. He works all things together for good for those of us who are believers in Christ, those of us who love him. Do you recognize that we are God's work in progress? Philippians, we are changed from glorifying self, the self life is dead for the Christian, to glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 8 says, "I, Paul, am confident of this very thing." He said that a lot, didn't he? I am confident of this very thing. When you're talking about the Lord, you can be confident of all very things. "The God the Father who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." You're a work in progress. And you are not going to be the Christian that God fails with. God will finish what he starts in you. God is amazing. So who are you? You're the child of a king. Enjoy the journey. Put the old things out of your mind. When the Lord Jesus Christ promises salvation, it's a guarantee. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. That's Romans 3:10, Romans 5:8. God the Father demonstrates his unconditional love toward all mankind, and that while we were yet sinners, while we were his enemy, Christ died as a substitute for us. John 3:17, God the Father did not send the Lord Jesus Christ into the world to condemn the world. The Father sent his Son into the world that the world might be saved through believing in him. John 1:12, but as many as received the Lord, taking advantage of the free gift of salvation, to them he gave the right once and for all time to become children of God, to those who believe in Christ's name. Closing song, You Raise Me Up.
When I am down, and oh my soul, so weary, when troubles come, and my heart burdened be, then I am still, and wait here in silence, until
so raise me up, so I can stand on mountains.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we thank you for placing us in the union with Christ. And we thank you for the sacrifice that you made by giving us your Son, who shed his blood so that we could be saved. Thank you for the forgiveness. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the peace of knowing that you have nothing against us. Thank you for the unconditional love. Please help us to be aware in all those times when we get the conversation from the world that says we're nobody. Help us to realize that they're really saying that we are somebody. Help us to know that they're liars and that what they're telling us, whatever they happen to be telling us, the exact opposite is true. And that help us to realize how threatened they are by you and by our love for you. But help us to be confident knowing that they can never shake our confidence in the one and only sovereign God, your Son, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray that you continue to shape messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your glorious person, your lucid thinking, your impeccable work, and your magnificent essence. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.